And I want to welcome you and say good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And this program, Heart of Mind, brings to you a lot of inspiration, I believe, but also news and potential for you to get involved in activities that are taking place around the world. And we are coming to the, or coming near the close of the 11 Days of Global Unity. You can find out more about that at we.net. But today we're going to be speaking, we're starting the show at any rate, with a really special opportunity for you to get involved coming this weekend. And my guest is Susanna Bastarica, and she is the founder, organizer of the annual Vigil for International Peace and Ecology. And it was inspired by the 9/11 tragedy and the United Nations Resolutions 36, 67, and 55, 282, and the International Day of Peace. Thereafter, while she was working for the UN, she became involved in the activities of the UN, Celebrations for Peace, and the UN Staff Recreation Council. She is an ordained minister from the seminary in New York City, and her website is vigilforinternationalpeace.org. I want to say hello and welcome, Susanna.
Hello, good morning, Catherine. It's a pleasure to be here today. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And I'm going to ask you to speak up. Our connection seems to be a little bit spotty. So,
okay.
Welcome to Heart of Mind Radio. And I would love for you to tell people just a little history of how you came to be so dedicated to the annual Vigil for International Peace, because it seems you've been doing this for quite a while now.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for listening to me. There's a couple of things that the activities started. The first activity that happened was when I was working at the United Nations. Sri Chinmoy, the guru, was hosting every year an event for peace, and we used to celebrate in the General Assembly by putting music and decorations, and we used to read resolutions and poetry, art, and music. Then thereafter, in 1982, there was a resolution saying that there should be a ceasefire at least once a year for all the nations of the world. And it was celebrated on the third Tuesday of every month, or no, of every September of the year. And then after the, in 2001, Jeremy Gilley talked to Secretary General Kofi Annan, and for many years he was trying to have a 24-hour observance that coincided everywhere in the world to have a real, real stop war, real awareness and consciousness that there is a, some kind of a decree and some kind of information in which tells you that at a certain time people should observe a ceasefire and have nonviolence. And since then, this decree and declaration of the United Nations has been active since 2001. And thereafter, when the towers came, I was absolutely traumatized from the devastation. So the first thing I did was go downtown, and I realized that there wasn't much that I can do. And I came to the house and took a candle, and I gathered with all of the people in the plaza. There was a little plaza where I lived on 47th Street. It's called the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza. And people gathered from all of life, and they started talking to me, and they started singing with me. But during the 9/11 crisis, most people didn't even talk. We just knew what to do. And we started walking to the firehouses, and one by one we started singing to them. And then they asked us to make some food if we could, and the neighborhood watch was every night at 7 o'clock. We arranged to bring a dish to every firehouse, and every precinct on the east side between like 34th and 57th Street in our neighborhood. And that took hold to other places where people were bringing cooked meals and warm food and drinks for the firemen, because it was really, really tragic. Nobody was practically moving from sadness. They worked and they worked, but they couldn't talk. They had, later on I found out, something that people don't want to talk about it, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome. And the shock was so great that no matter how much you work, you can never take away the pain.
Hmm. Well, that's a very powerful story and commitment to this work. And how did this evolve into the annual vigil?
Well, thank you. What happened is that the United Nations was holding every year in September, 3 weeks before the General Assembly on the Tuesday, a celebration at the UN for the staff with music commemorating the resolutions for the International Day of Peace. And, of course, none of us were allowed into the building unless we had to go to work. So any kind of festivity, any kind of activity inside the General Assembly, the Dakhamershul Auditorium, or the lobby where we used to have the gatherings was completely banned due to security, because it was very, very dangerous at the time. So with the people in the park and some friends, we started going every weekend to the Central Park and to the other places like Lincoln Center and Times Square, and gathered with a candle singing. And then people told us that. They said, look, you cannot do this. I mean, this is a state of crisis. It's a complete security. You have to go to a place where you have some kind of permit and congregate and get there. So we started gathering in Central Park, and there was a lot of us in Central Park, and they said, this is not the best time for you to gather here either, so talk to somebody. So a friend of mine knew Commissioner Stern, and Commissioner Stern said, look, if you want to gather to sing just at one time with a permit, and the best place to sing is the bandshell. You can go to the bandshell. And after many requests and waiting for a year, September 21st, 2002, we got the bandshell. So all of my friends that were involved singing, the non-government organizations, and my guru at the time, His Holiness Master Lin Yun, he came with us. And I had a very dear friend, his name, may he rest in peace, is James Canning, who was the first musician who decided to join me. And he called me at 12 o'clock midnight, and he said, Susanna, what are you guys doing? They told me to go somewhere, and I don't know, where are you meeting? And I said, it's on the bandshell. And he came at 5 in the morning to my house, and he said, you have to come with me. I don't know what this is. And we went to Central Park, and there was nobody there, and we couldn't bring the car because there were barricades. So he sits me at the bandshell, walks with me, and leaves the car. And then I waited till about 7 when the Central Park Conservancy came and gave us the escort with the car and took us inside. But from there on, he really vowed to help us. And I didn't know at the time that he was such a wonderful activist. He played with Bob Marley. He played with Arro. He played with David Johansen. He opened for the Rolling Stones in Madison Square Garden. But most of all, he was a humble man with love. Lovely, lovely talent. And he played everyone for free. When he passed on, when he was in the hospital, I was going to see him every day. And at one point, the hospital room was full of people. He was a secret sort of celebrity, because all of these people coming to pay tribute to him, devastated. And I found out by speaking with them that he was a volunteer for the abused women, a volunteer for the homeless shelter, a volunteer for the elderly, a volunteer for the veterans of war, a volunteer for the Spanish community. I couldn't believe the people that found out and knew his network. And all of these were people that in his heart he took his family And everybody here in New York City adored him because they didn't have this kind of free entertainment that he provided Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. I didn't know he was busy every night of the week, and he couldn't come see me because he was busy doing something else. He was just doing volunteer work. So to me, James is one of the most extraordinary friends I ever got to have, and he's always living on with a legacy. And as a matter of fact, I'm very flattered because some friends are flying from Michigan this weekend just to pay tribute to James. So we are in for a treat because a lot of people are bringing their musicians, their instruments to remember James and all of the other people that unfortunately for us have passed during the vigil. We had a few losses and we're going to pay tribute to them, to like the charming Ray Corona, Pete Seeger, William Marx, and two of the beautiful volunteers, Natan Tocacicato and A.G. Bliss Guido. And everybody is come together just to sing songs on their behalf for them. And I think that this is going to be like a good tribute for peace, remembrance, and also a gathering for us to celebrate life in a peaceful manner through activities as music, dance, interactive art, and poetry.
So we know it's going to be at the band show.
Yes.
When
it's going
will
to
it
be Sunday morning to the afternoon at the band show, 2 Street entrance, and it's the kind of amphitheater that is at the south of Bethesda Fountain. It's just pretty much in the middle of the.
Yeah, and what entrance did you say? Was it 72nd Street entrance?
Either from the Fifth Avenue side, you can enter, which is shorter, I think, or you can go on the 72nd Street entrance on the west side that goes through Strawberry Fields.
Okay, and it's really quite easy to get through. You just walk on the passage that crosses, you know, from east to west or west to east, and it's right there in the middle there. And it's on one side is the fountain, as you say, and the other side is you'll find the band show. So tell us a little bit more about this celebration. You're going to have some musicians, we hear, and some speakers. Who'll be speaking?
Okay, so we have lovely, lovely musicians and renowned speakers who are coming from all over the world because they're speaking the next day at the United Nations. And I'm very glad that they're coming, and also I'm very glad that the Central Park celebration gives opportunity to the outside public of the UN to enjoy the same benefits and get and meet and greet the people who do policy making and the non-governmental organizations who work so closely with the decisions of the United Nations for the good of the world. So one of them is going to be the World Peace Violin. And the World Peace Violin has been done with all of the leftovers from Hiroshima and constructed with this different pieces of wood from other countries and from other places. And it's been played by most famous musicians in the world, and it travels every country with a melody of peace, and it's pretty amazing. Then we're going to have Robert Forenza, who does the Haga Planets. The Haga Planets are soft, like balls that are made of inflatable material, but they show the world. They have an image on cloth of the printed world. And these are instruments for learning, and he's been so charitable and lovely. He sent me several suitcases for me to take to my country in Uruguay to donate to the schools, and every time he comes to the event in Central Park, he donates about 100 Haga Planets, and he sends them to unknown places in the United States, to reservations, to hospitals. And it's a beautiful toy for you to explore. It's called Haga Planet, and it's a soft world. And he tells people, handle the world with care. This is yours. And it's very, very touching. So we're also going to have Deborah Maldo and Monica Willard, who are the United Nations representatives for the NGO and the International Day of Peace. And, of course, our darling, beloved Rick Ulfick, who does the 11 Days of Unity, my friend Andrew Kane, who is everybody's peacemaker in the world and lovely, charming friend, and several musicians who are going to be singing with us, like Christine Marie Imov, Guillermo Silvera from Argentina. We're going to have Johnny Karma from South Africa. We're going to have the Latin American Ensemble of Children doing native dances in costumes. So I think they're lovely. They're young kids performing special typical dances from other countries. We're going to have our beloved Mana. She's a blind dancer who does acrobatics on a chair with music and has taught children around the world how to create a device on sound and touch to be able to dance and perform under different circumstances and create their own choreography. We also are going to have some of the Beatles of Beatlemania honoring John Lennon and doing the Imagine song for everybody in the park to sing. And we have the Gary Baker Choir, who also has the Pete Singer Street Singers that used to sing with Pete, and Spook Handy, who's doing a tour and a tribute for all over the world of Pete's music. And we're also having Roland, who also sang with Pete Seeger. And we have many, many other rock bands. We have a young people's band that's called Moon Hooch that's very popular in New York. And they're coming, and everybody's coming for free. Everybody's donating their time and their traveling and their rehearsal time. And they come for you, for us, and for a service to the community to enjoy and have an opportunity in the afternoon to meet and greet with the many and the like who are in New York City. And I would like to have New York City and Central Park be the park for peace. This is our 14th year of celebration, and although it's once a year, everybody that comes to the park has been doing peaceful work, and we all like each other. It's easy for us to work with one another, but everybody's a titan in their own task, in their own endeavor, and they come and offer you everything they can and they have done. And every year I have a lot of tears just to see them coming, and they said, Susanna, I wrote this poem. Susanna, I made this painting. Susanna, I have this song that I'd like to share. It's impossible to say no, so we're going to be jam-packed on Sunday, and it's all for you, so you can enjoy and celebrate. Come join us, bring a picnic, bring some friends, and have a blanket, and enjoy the day.
And it's free, is it not?
It's free. It's free. Free of charge. Last night we had a 14-people meeting at my house, and it became like a sacred circle because we were talking about what people were bringing to the event. And I started crying, and I said, guys, I said, you just come see me. And I'm talking here, and you are reciting in front of me. You're playing a song. You're doing something that you did all year just for this occasion, and you're presenting to me or to us in my house, and you come to see me. And it's a true honor that have people come from the heart and create a safe place that everybody can express themselves without being ridiculed or without being dishonored. Because a lot of times people don't understand that the artists have their own craft. And people say, nah, I'm not going to watch him. No, I don't like poetry. No, this music is not for me. But when we are together and when people come to Central Park, we all give them a hand. We all hold their hands after they go off stage, shake them, welcome them, and greet them. And our vigil of people has been far and beyond their call of duty because after they leave, they have to come and they have to do other works that they do 9 to 5 and do documentaries on peace, do music peace, do singing for peace at the church or the synagogue. And others are just volunteers, like my friend Erin Dynan, who does one sandwich at a time. So she feeds New York for everybody, one person at a time. And true peace comes from one person to one person, forgiving, helping and even listening to a friend who lost somebody in their family for a couple of minutes, that's an act of peace, because at that time we're connected from the heart and we can help each other and atone ourselves with the human condition and develop tolerance and acceptance and mediation in our hearts. So just know that if it's meant to be, it's up to you and me.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your taking the time this morning to let people know about this. And it's really a wonderful opportunity for those who are at home or at work right now to plan on attending on Sunday and being in an environment with people who are caring and loving and are wanting to bring together this energy and this celebration of peace on Earth. And it is, again, this Sunday. And Sunday is the, is it the 20th?
Sunday the 20th. The official day is the 21st, but we don't have the park on the 21st.
Right. The 21st is the actual celebration of the International Day of Peace, correct?
Yes, and they're having a big event at the UN for the dignitaries, but the 20th is in Central Park for everybody.
Exactly. And so that's Saturday, and you can come to Central Park.
Sunday,
Central Park Bandshell. And it starts in the morning, more or less.
Around 9 o'clock, and it goes after 5 o'clock, and we're having all throughout the day celebration, art, and music, and I welcome you to join us in the park with art, because we're going to probably have David Hoban, who does live painting on the site and documents different events about Central Park, which is lovely.
All right. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Susanna Vastarica. And people can go to your website, can they not?
Yes, look information on the website, and it's www.vigil and then numeral 4, so like number 4, internationalpeace.org. Vigil4internationalpeace.org. And I thank everybody from the bottom of my heart and taking the time to listen to me, and thank Catherine for being the hostess with the mostest and having us to share this kind of information community. Okay. Thank you and greetings.
Okay, bye-bye now. Take good care. That's vigil4internationalpeace.org. And you can also go to the we.net website, and you'll find a lot of information there about all that's been going on with the 11 days of global unity, including a telesummit where there's been a broadcast. It's in progress every day at 1 p.m. And once you go there and sign up, you could actually go and listen to the full lineup of guests. So it's a really special opportunity to bring your focus to one of unity and peace. And truthfully, that is where I wanted to go for the remainder of this program, is to really begin to talk with you about how important it is to bring yourself into focus with the goal of creating peace on Earth. And the only way that we can really create this peace on Earth is to create peace within our own lives. A lot of the people we speak to on this program, especially today's program, we spoke with Susanna Vastarica, and she spoke of all the people who are engaged and involved in putting together her, working with her on her projects. And these are people who are volunteering their time, who are working because they have a social commitment, but also a personal love and a great joy in coming together in unity, in purpose, in order to create a project that will really bring about a sense of peace within our civilization. And a lot of us sometimes get caught up in the desire for prosperity and to be able to have the resources to do the things that we want to do We have all kinds of dreams that we want to create in the world that require resources. But very often the resources come after we've begun the process of making that commitment of bringing within our own lives a manifestation of that commitment towards peace and unity, and out of that grows the prosperity. Out of that grows the opportunity to do more, to be more, and to express more in the world. So I want you to think about this. I want you to consider how important it is to work with yourself to bring your life together in such a way that allows you to integrate your ascension and integrate your cultivation, your development, your coming into the fullness of your being. Because the truth is, the only way that there is going to be transformation in our lives, in the world, is if we participate in that process. And the best way to have that participation is through our life. It's through our relationships, through our choices, and through our lives. So I want you to consider what it is that you're doing in your life that is making a contribution to the overall coming together, building of, creation of a peaceful coexistence. It's sometimes challenging because we see the chaos and we do see the suffering that still takes place in the world around us. But as we each put our piece into the pie, into the fullness of humanity, then by percentage points, we begin to change the ratio of not so wonderful things to the potential for growing into much more expanded states of being unified and part of this collective of humanity. So I invite you really to participate in this event coming on Sunday at the Banjo, the International Vigil for Peace. I invite you to go to the website, we.net, and you can connect to so many different things that are taking place during the 11 days of global unity. But beyond that, you also can connect to the organizations that are coming together to build this new world. And this is our goal, to build a world within which we can pool together our resources, that being financial resources as well as our energetic resources and the resources of our goodwill and love into the world. It all matters. We're going to be traveling down this road a little bit more when we come back from our break. We're going to play a station announcement or two and be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, and Heart of Mind Radio. We'll be right back.
To PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Mueller from The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want to know what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America, Tune in twice a week and get it from the horse's mouth, from someone like me who's had boots on the ground down here for over 20 years. Latin America is one of the only places left in the world where you can still live a first world life on a measly Social Security check. And with the first world imploding like it is, everybody needs a plan B. So, tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for The Expat Files, Living in Latin America.
Hi there, this is Harvey Wasserman. I am the host of the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, which airs every Monday at 3 p.m. at PRN.FM. We cover the great issues of your health and wellness, of the health and wellness of the planet, of moving ahead towards a Solartopian, green-powered, holistic Earth. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Join the movement at PRN.FM, your best source for progressive programming.
Welcome you back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine, your host for this program. And I actually, earlier this morning, came upon a fairly significant email, and I want to share it with you. It came from Rick Ulfick, We the World, at we.net. But this is actually a message from Rabbi Michael Lerner, the editor of Tikkun magazine and co-chair of the Network of Spiritual Progressives. And it speaks to what we've been talking about today. Dear friend of global unity and transformation, it sometimes seems overwhelming to see all the suffering on the planet. Millions of refugees with no place to go, drone strikes, and wars killing thousands. 2.2 billion people living on less than $2 a day, and 1.4 billion living on less than $1 a day. Corporations continuing to pollute our oceans and our air and our water supplies while extracting resources from the earth to turn into yet more and more consumer goods that only a small percentage of the world's population can afford. And the earth crying in despair as the human role in climate change is denied and the resources of the earth are plundered for the sake of profits of the few. No wonder that so many people give up on making larger change and think that the best we can do is to focus on our own little neighborhood and protect ourselves from the environmental crisis coming. But as the Pope brilliantly shows in his recent environmental encyclical, and as we at Tikkun magazine have been demonstrating issue after issue, no amount of good deeds of charity or saving a small local community from the worst impacts of fracking or pollution or the poisoning of our food supplies can head off the massive environmental catastrophe that faces us and the rest of the planet unless we also change the fundamentals of this society. What we need is something that spiritual people need to teach the world, a new bottom line, so that we judge our corporations, our government policies, our educational, legal, and healthcare systems as efficient or productive, not only to the extent that they maximize money and power, the old bottom line, but also to the extent that they maximize our capacities to be loving and caring for each other and the earth. generous and kind, environmentally and ethically responsible, capable of treating other human beings and the entire universe as fundamentally valuable rather than just instrumental for our needs, and hence respond to them with awe, wonder, and radical amazement. To make this new bottom line concrete, Tikkun Magazine's action arm, the Interfaith and Secular Humanist and Atheist Welcoming. It's called the Network of Spiritual Progressives, has developed a global Marshall Plan to end poverty, hunger, homelessness, inadequate educational and inadequate health care. And you can find more about this at tikkun.org/GMP. Tikkun is spelled T-I-K-K-U-N. Tikkun.org/GMP. So they have launched a campaign for the ESRA, Environmental and Social Responsibility Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It would require public funding of all elections and ban all other sources of money, not just from corporations, but also from the super rich, like Trump. It would require the richest corporations to prove once every 5 years a satisfactory history of environmental and social responsibility to a jury of ordinary citizens who would hear testimony from people all around the world who have been impacted by the policies, products, and services of that corporation, or lose their ability to sell goods or services in the United States. And it would require grade-appropriate environmental and social caring education in every school from kindergarten through graduate or professional schools. And you could read this document, this call for an amendment, at the same website, tikkun.org/ESRA, tikkun.org/ESRA. All unrealistic, they ask? Absolutely, in the same way that it was unrealistic to think ordinary people could achieve an end to segregation in South or apartheid in South Africa. Break down the tens of thousands of year practice of sexism and patriarchy, or achieve the right to marriage for gays and lesbians. Excuse me. And so it is not unrealistic. It's not unrealistic, and that's the point. You see, you never really know what is possible till you commit to the struggle for what is desirable. But you can do that. You can't do that on your own. It's too overwhelming a task. That's why we created the Network of Spiritual Progressives, and why I'm urging you to join it and work with me and thousands of others. And I'm reading this letter. It's a letter by Rabbi Michael Lerner, and he's the editor of Tikkun Magazine. So he's asking you to consider joining this network of spiritual progressives. Thousands, you'll be joining him, Michael Lerner, and thousands of others to spread a fundamentally new way of thinking that is actually the oldest way of thinking, that love and kindness and generosity is the best path to homeland security, and that caring of the earth must become the central criterion for which we decide what candidates to support in 2016 and beyond. We can't achieve this shift in thinking without you. And that's why he, Michael Lerner, is asking you to join the Network of Spiritual Progressives. And that website is spiritualprogressives.org. And so get involved. And you can tell them what your specific projects are. You can also write them at cat@spiritualprogressives.org, cat@spiritualprogressives.org, and tell them what projects you'd like to be involved with, political parties and such. And so it's a lovely greeting and effort by Rabbi Michael Lerner of Tikkun Magazine, and he's reaching out to all of us to become involved in such a way that we can bring real change into the planet. And the only way to bring real change into the planet is to bring real change into the body politic and to hold our corporations and our government officials accountable for their decisions, their actions, their votes, and their self-serving policies very often. And the transference of personnel from Congress to corporations and from corporations to Congress, with money changing hands and positions changing hands and influence changing hands for the benefits of the multinationals, that must end. And the way for us to do this work is to come together. And this is just one of the many organizations involved in the We the World campaign, we.net, in which it brings together all of these dynamic leaders in the world of spiritual consciousness who are doing real work in the world and giving you the opportunity to connect with all of these folks and to add your energy to what's being done concretely in the world to make change. So everyone who's listening to this program, anyone who would listen to this radio network, anyone who has consciousness and is caring about the world and humanity, the fate of humanity, does have a responsibility to do something. So we have that opportunity to engage in the world in a real way to make change. We also, as I spoke earlier, have that opportunity to engage in the personal transformative process that also changes the world. Because had not these beings who are engaged in this larger work not made that personal commitment, not faced the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror, the person inside, and said, I'm going to do something, we wouldn't have all of these efforts taking place. And it's time for you to do this as well. You are not a weak individual. You are not a helpless individual. You are a powerful being. You are a powerful being that has at your center, at your source, the force of divinity, the force and the conscious awareness and the inspiration of the creative force of all. And you can access that within you and pull that forward into your life and make it a part of your every day, of your every moment, of your every thought. And it's not a difficult task. It's not something that we need to be fearful or feel challenged by. It's something that we just need to pay attention to, if we pay attention to our words and their impact, if we pay attention to our thoughts and their impact, if we pay attention to our emotions and their impact, then we can begin to realize what we're doing, what we're contributing to the world, because indeed, we are making a contribution. The question is, what are we contributing? Are you contributing a fearful energy? Are you afraid? We all have episodes of being afraid, of not knowing where the next dollar is coming from, of not knowing how we're going to provide for ourselves or our children, of worrying about potential violence that could befall us or some of our loved ones. There are a lot of things in the world to be fearful of. But we have a choice to say, I will not walk in fear of some event that has yet to manifest. When we walk in fear of an event that has yet to manifest, it means that fearful energy is flowing into the world, contributing, building momentum towards that fateful event occurring. So the projection of that fear is calling the fearful event to you. So we would rather, I believe, challenge that fear within ourselves. And the way to challenge that fear is to connect into the wholeness that is at the core of your being, to release the mechanisms of the mind that would tell us we live in a fearful environment, and recognize the fact that in the moment, all is well. We're not starving, we're not dying, for the most part. We're not in danger. So why be fearful of something that isn't real? So we can breathe into the heart, breathe into the center, and connect with the core of ourself. And in that core, you can connect with the inspiration of the divine force that comes through you with your soul intelligence, your soul wakefulness, your soul perspective. And when we make that connection into that deep well within us that is wise and calm and loving, then that is the energy that begins to radiate through our bodies. That is the energy that begins to radiate through our thoughts. That is the energy that begins to radiate through our words and our sharing and the energy that we're breathing into the world. And it's an interesting to realize that because we're living in an energetic existence, we're contributing to that energetic existence. Humanity has a unified consciousness field that is created by what is energetically breathed into it by each individual human being. So the question is, what are you breathing into that field? Are you breathing peace? Are you breathing unity? Or are you allowing for the transformative process to occur? Are you calling for dignity for all members of humanity? So we do this not just through our thoughts. The thoughts are important, but we also do this through our actions. When you pass someone, look at them in the eye for a moment and acknowledge their divinity, acknowledge their sacredness as you pass by. Just acknowledge. You don't have to say anything, but allow that acknowledgement to exist. And this is especially important when you approach someone who clearly is struggling. Maybe they're out there asking for a quarter or a dollar. You may or may not want to give them a quarter or a dollar. That's fine. But you can give them an acknowledgement of their dignity as a human being. And as you hold that acknowledgement in your heart, it transmits to that person's heart. And they are also uplifted in that moment. So we're very, very powerful by virtue of what we contribute into the world on an energetic level. And this is how we can come together to support the transformation of the world in which we live. And we're living during a time, a transition of energetics, the shift in the age of time, where we are really being bombarded with energies that are coming from the cosmic field, energies that are coming from the unified field, which is the mind of God, or the mind of Source, however you might want to think of it, the deepest consciousness of creation, is bombarding the earth at this moment, bombarding our solar system at this moment, so that our energetic vibration will lift. And as this energetic vibration lifts around and within us, because we are that energetic field as well, all of the old stuff that gets in the way is going to rise to the surface for you to extinguish, to deal with, to dissolve. It's why we have a lot of health challenges right now. It's why we have a lot of social interactive challenges right now. It's why we have a lot of relationship challenges right now. And it's why people are going through changes in an unbelievable scale that could be driving you to depression, driving you to suicidal thoughts, driving you to illnesses and infections, and all kinds of things are coming to the surface. Because we are on the edge of a transformative time. And as we break across this barrier, this event horizon, there's going to be a crashing of the waves, and those who are unable to make this transitional process are going to be even more challenged. So it's really important for us to go through this with an understanding of what it is so that we can honor what we spoke of earlier, the divinity within, the wisdom within, so that we can approach our challenges with patience and forgiveness for ourselves, for each other, with tolerance, with an understanding that we're in it together. We're creating a world together, and we have this individual work to do, and we have the work of the social involvement. So it's a two-track involvement that we all are engaged in, and we want to come together and share our experiences to support each other and to begin to build this momentum both politically, socially, and on the individual level. It's all coming together as a unified whole in the transformation of the unified field. And we're living in a time when the so-called veil of separation between our third-dimensional human consciousness and our subconscious and our divine consciousness, that veil is almost a whisper. It's really not there. And if you were to engage in that dialogue and that conversation to reach into the soul, you can communicate directly with your divinity, with your divine connection. You can communicate directly with your higher self, the oversoul that birthed your spirit, your soul, into your living body. You can communicate with your soul family and receive the love and the counsel of all of these guides who are perhaps at a different vibrational quantum field level, but they're very real, tangible beings, part of your own being, because we indeed are quantum. We live in multiple levels of experience simultaneously, and we have different levels of conscious awareness in these various quantum fields of energy. But now is the time of merging, where we can cross that barrier and benefit from the perspectives of your wider quantum self. It's a rare opportunity in time, and you can make the most of it by connecting into the heart, into the self, into the field of energy that you are, and being able to read and understand the message that's being delivered to you through your body, through the vibrations, through the feelings, and the various subtle fluctuations within your field, through the fluctuations in your emotions. But if you're discerning, not reactive, if I'm feeling this, what is this message? What is it telling me? How can I go deeper to the source? Where is it coming from? How can I release that energy from my body? So it's a journey. It's a quest of opening up the inner vision, the inner understanding, so that we can reach within ourselves the greatest potential of who we are. So I want to invite you to connect with me, please, in this way. And we can work together on this. For those of you who would like, I do energy classes, meditation, Qigong classes. And as a point of reference, I'll be offering Qigong classes every Wednesday morning in Prospect Park at 7 a.m. And we will meet in front of the main library at Grand Army Plaza. And we enter through the front at Grand Army Plaza. So you can join me on Saturday, the first and third Saturday. So I'll be doing a class this coming Saturday at 1 p.m. We meet in front of the public library. And on Wednesdays at 7 a.m., we meet in front of the public library. We go into the park. We do a meditation. We work with the energy moving and healing the body. And then we can go into questions about what's happening around us. Please connect with me through email, and you can do that at heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You can inquire about the classes, the Qigong classes, or private sessions. I have a healing space in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn. So I can work with you on an individual level, in a group, in a class, in a session. We can communicate through email. These are very, very important times, and we can do a lot to heal our own self, to heal each other, and to heal the world. My name is Catherine, and you've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Again, communicate through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Stay tuned for more great programming. Tune in again next Friday. Stay tuned.